This is Pastor Jim Crisson for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. In the reality of today's world, everyone has questions. How do we get here and how do we move forward? You are invited to join us in worship on Sunday mornings as we provide answers to these and other important questions of the hour. Of course, there is only one answer, and that is the love of Jesus, our Christ and Redeemer. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. If you're looking for a church home and the fellowship of a faith community to sustain and uphold you as you move forward in your journey, please join us at 10:30 Sunday mornings by Zoom or in-person worship at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs. Visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org. You are welcome to join us at Rock Springs First Methodist Church.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage on Sunday, July 11th, 2021.
Well, good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Pastor Jim and Carrie are on vacation this morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you strengthen your people and your church. Give us the will to spread the good news of Jesus our Christ and to stand against evil. Let you light our path with your word and guide our footsteps. Amen.
Our merciful Lord and Creator, all-knowing, all-caring, as we enter this time of prayer, we ask that you listen to our hearts as we come to you, each of us in our own way, in silent prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in praise. We come in worship and humility, knowing the power of your majesty and the love you have for each of us. This morning, we thank you for the love and fellowship of our family and friends. Let us remember to be thankful for all of the things that we sometimes take for granted. And as we thank you for these, help us remember those who must do without. Bless them and keep them in the palm of your loving, tender care. Keep us mindful that we are your church, that each one of us brings our own special gifts, skills, abilities, and contributions to your ministry in this community, that we are meant to come together to serve you and to serve those around us. Lord, we ask your care for all of those brought before you today in our thoughts, prayers, joys, and concerns. We ask that you be with us and help us to know humility in our triumphs and achievements and the love you have for all of us in our sorrows. We ask your gentle mercies for those whose hearts are heavy today due to the loss or illness of a loved one. As we pray this morning, we also remember those who are hospitalized or homebound. Be with them in their time of need. Today, our world is troubled and full of turmoil, racked with war, economic and natural disasters, mistrust, hate, and fear. We ask that you be with those who know the anguish of loss due to the violence of others. Help us to remember that you have a plan for each of us, and while we may not understand why, help us to be still and know that you are God. Please impart wisdom and courage to our local, state, national, and world leaders. Watch over our men and women who serve in military uniform to keep us safe. Remember also those who have served and in that service have suffered injury. We also recognize the veterans of military service and thank them for that service. We would pray for the members of our law enforcement community and first responders. Be with them as they put themselves in harm's way to protect us. We, however, rest assured this morning that there is hope for the future, and we know that that hope does not rest with mankind, but in our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Be with us as we face new beginnings and deal with the challenges of change. Amen. And now please join me in the prayer that Jesus prayed when his disciples came and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we sin those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today, I'll be reading from Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 15. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land. A land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
No doubt you recognize our Bible passage as that from when Moses was at Horeb, also now known as Mount Sinai. It is there that God spoke to Moses from a burning bush. And at the beginning of Moses' journey as Yahweh's designated spokesman, Moses has an uncomfortable definition handed down to him. Moses asks, give me your name that I might tell the people who sent me. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. He also says to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. I am. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. I am. That is the high, holy, and exalted name God uses for himself. Since that moment on the mountain with Moses, all the rest of us have wanted to know more than, I am who I am. We think we need more than, I will be who I will be. Jesus and his disciples ventured into the district of Caesarea Philippi, an area about 25 miles northeast of the Sea of Galilee. The region had tremendous religious implications. It had temples for the Syrian gods. It had the elaborate marble temple that had been built by Herod the Great, father of the then ruling Herod Antipas. Here also was the influence of the Greek gods and the worship of Caesar as a god himself. You might say that the world religions were on display in this town. It was this scene as the backdrop for Jesus, and in that moment, he reflected on and asked perhaps the most crucial question of his ministry. Who do men say that I am? The disciples told him, well, some people say Elijah, some John the Baptist, others Jeremiah, or perhaps maybe one of the prophets. This is the way it has always been. Jesus is seen by the masses in so many different ways. Who do you say he is? According to the Gospel of John, Jesus used the name I am for himself on numerous occasions. I am the bread of life, John 6:35. I am the light of the world, John 8:12. I am the door of the sheep, John 10:7. I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. Other I am sayings by Jesus include, I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. I am the real vine, John 15:1. And before Abraham was, I am, John 8:58. From the perspective of the Gospel of John, there are two options in life. Either I am in charge of me, or the real I am is in charge of me. Pastor Jim would say, God is either omni-all or he's not. Two choices, and the choices are yours. Will we listen to the call of the world, or will we listen to the word of God and pass it on? In many churches today, a social gospel has replaced the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ alone. They put other things in first place. They devalue faith. So we must take care, because unless that which is above us rules that which is within us, then that which is on the outside rules us. In other words, we as individuals, and yes, churches, all too often find ourselves going along to get along. There's a country song that says, you have to stand up for something or you'll fall for anything. We need to open our Bibles and stand up for what we find there. We need to resist those who would twist and distort what the Bible says. But you can't defend it if you don't know what's in it. That is the reason for Bible studies and the reason for reading your Bible for yourself. Freedom is God's way. Human dignity is his agenda. He was there as the bricks were removed from the Berlin Wall. He was there when that lone student defied the tank in Tiananmen Square. He was there when Terry Anderson walked out of his prison cell in Beirut, a free man. It is absurd to to interpret history as if God is dead. As long as people live in poverty, in hunger, in fear, God's agenda is not completed. As long as people live in sin, squalor, and despair, He will not cease to labor. And we should be there saying, "Here am I, Lord, use me." God invites us to come, but He gives us the freedom to say yes or no. Sin is what the cross is all about. By Christ's sacrifice, we are saved. By His wounds, we are healed. By His death, we are brought to eternal life. But only if we respond in repentance and faith. You know, Jesus was a gift. Think of it as a $1 million check given to us by God's grace. And all we have to do is turn it over and endorse it. But if we don't, well, if we don't, we don't get to benefit from the gift. It's our choice. If you look back at verse 11, you catch Moses asking God, "Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He felt inadequate for such an important mission, and he hesitated, just as we hesitate, because we too feel inadequate. Inadequate to step forward and get involved in the ministry going on around us. In today's vernacular, we really need to get over ourselves. We need to step out in faith and start asking, "What can I do? Send me." There are greater things to do for the kingdom of God once you have come to the point that you can echo the words of Peter, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Just ask the woman at the well. Ask Mary Magdalene. Ask Paul. Ask Martin Luther. Ask John Wesley. Ask Mother Teresa. Ask Charles Colson. Or perhaps someone sitting next to you. Choosing Christ invariably helps us to make better choices. We lay aside our former selves as an act of devotion for what Christ has done for us. We seek to live the resurrected life for the benefit of those who have not yet received the grace of Christ. Only when Christ becomes a real presence in our lives do we benefit of faith. When people give their lives to Christ, they become better parents, better citizens. They live happier, more fulfilled lives. The choice was put squarely to us by St. Paul. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. One of the most powerful images of the Bible has two manifestations, one in the Old Testament and the other in the New. In the Old, Moses was able to touch the fringe of God's garment. In the New, the hemorrhaging woman was only able to touch the fringe of Jesus' garment. What about us? Is it possible that we too can touch the fringe? By answering the question, "Who do you say that I am?" I'd like to share something with you today that I came across several years ago. While praying one day, a woman asked, "Who are you, God?" And he answered, "I am." "But who is I am?" she asked. And he replied, "I am love. I am peace. I am grace. I am joy. I am strength. I am safety. I am shelter. I am power. I am the creator. I am the comforter. I am the beginning and the end. I am the truth, the way, and the life." With tears in her eyes, she looked toward heaven and said, "Now I understand, but who am I?" God tenderly wiped the tears from her eyes and whispered, "You are mine." So, who do you say that I am? Jesus asks. Discover the answer to that question, and you will be able to answer the question, whose am I? He loves us not because we are all lovable, but because he is love. Amen. And now, may God's word be in your heart and on your lips. May God's word be in your touch and direct your feet. May God's word be the life you live. Go in peace and have a wonderful week.
Worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.